This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wada. Now, introduction to 40 hadith. How many are hadith in the 40 hadith?
42.
Okay, sounds like a silly question, but there are 42 hadith. And Al-Imam An-Nawawi, we described last week, we gave a brief introduction, was one of the great scholars of Al-Islam. He compiled 40 ahadith from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He took 40 ahadith that he felt were very important in Al-Islam, that summarized the usul and fundamentals of our deen, and he put them into one book. Why did he do that? He did that based on a hadith, although it's a weak hadith. Weak hadith, where the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Man jama'a 40 hadithan, hallat lahu shafa'ati." Whoever compiles 40 ahadith will receive my intercession on the Day of Judgment. Now, he did so, but he didn't know it was weak. You may sit there thinking of some brothers, bro, how can not know it was weak? Well, so Habibi, they didn't have, you know, iPhones and Samsung Galaxies like we have today. You can do a quick search on Google, okay, or an app where you download all the authentic ahadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because the ulama later on compiled it in one app for you or one book. Okay, for them it was very difficult. They had to have, you know, travel years on end in search at times for one hadith. Okay, so at times they would, you know, have a hadith but not know it's weak. Not know it's weak. And he's not the only imam and sheikh and scholar of the past to compile 40 ahadith. There have been many others, like Al-Imam al-Suyuti. However, his one became the most renowned, subhanAllah. And that's a sign of acceptance with Allah. For your legacy to be left behind, and your books and your works and your lessons and lectures, Allahu Akbar, that's a sign that you are accepted. And there's not a bookstore or a library or a masjid or a markaz except you find the books of Al-Imam An-Nawawi. And he was called An-Nawawi because he was from nowhere. You know, Al-Bukhari, the great imam, was from Bukhara, etc. And Ibn Rajab, who was a great scholar, and this great scholar and imam, Ibn Rajab, was the student of whom? He came many years later. He was a student of Ibn al-Qayyim. And Ibn al-Qayyim was a student of? Ahsanti. Student of Ibn Taymiyyah. And Ibn Taymiyyah was Shaykh al-Islam himself, the great scholar of the 7th century. So Ibn Rajab came after Ibn al-Qayyim. And what did he do? He gave a sharh on the 42 ahadith. He gave an explanation in his book, Jami' al-Ulum al-Hikam. Amazing book. Amazing book. I recommend everyone to get it. And it's available in English. Jami' al-Ulum al-Hikam. So Ibn Rajab compiled the famous book, Jami' al-Ulum al-Hikam. Translated as the compilation of sciences or knowledges and wisdom. Hikam is plural for the word hikmah, wisdom. So wisdoms, really. So he compiled these 42 ahadith and he added 8. So there's actually 50 ahadith that he mentioned. And of course, this is based on his ijtihad. He's a scholar, his ikhtiyar, his choice. He added a further 8 because he believes those extra 8 further encompass the whole religion. So that's a brief background into the 40 hadith. And this is what, inshallah, I'll be summarizing for you. They're in your notes and I'll be adding a little bit extra from this book. If you can read this book in your own spare time, it's available in English, download it. Amazing, wallah, amazing. Let me just read to you just some of what the scholar said about the first hadith which we are taking. Innamal a'malu bin niyat. This hadith is the first hadith in which book? An-Nawawi's 40 hadith. It's also the first hadith in Riyad Salihin. It's also the first hadith in, someone said it, Sahih Al-Bukhari. It came first on so many occasions because this hadith should be a first in our life. Innamal a'malu bin-niyat. The no doubt, deeds are but by their intentions. And if you ever to read Sahih Al-Bukhari, you will notice something amazing. He doesn't have an introduction. No introduction. Why? Because this hadith is the introduction. That's the introduction to his book, his Sahih. Because the heart can allow you to achieve and attain much reward that your limbs will only dream about getting. Your heart can take you places that your limbs will not, and we're going to see how. And just to further drive home how important this first hadith is that we are going to study, where the Prophet ﷺ said that your deeds are but by their intentions, and everyone will get the reward according to their intention. It was mentioned that Abdul Rahman ibn Mahdi said about this hadith, لو صنفت الأبواب لجعلت حديث عمر بن الخطاب في الأعمال بالنيات في كل باب. He said, if I were to author a book, a fiqh, I would have put this hadith of Umar ibn al-Khattab in the beginning of every single chapter. SubhanAllah, imagine what you were to study fiqh or read a book of fiqh. At the start of each chapter, before, for example, Tahara, you read this hadith. Before the Adhan, you read this hadith. Before Salah itself, the chapter of Salah, you read this hadith. Before Zakah and Siyam and Hajj, you read this hadith. Why? Because this hadith enters in every single ibadah, every single act of worship. And it was also mentioned that Ash-Shafi'i said, and this is in your notes, if you look on, I believe, is it page 2 or 3?
It's page 3, you could probably say page 3.
It says Al-Imam Ash-Shafi'i at the top, this hadith. Second page. Ibn Rajab, yes. And he's the student of Ibn al-Qayyim, and Ibn al-Qayyim was the student of Ibn Taymiyyah. Very good book. So he gives sharh, he gives an explanation of all these ahadith. And that's what I'm basically giving you. I'm giving you the summarized version, inshallah, in these notes. So Al-Shafi'i, Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i said, هذا الحديث ثلث العلم. This hadith is one third of knowledge. Why? Because all actions either do with actions of the heart, actions of the tongue, and actions of the limbs. Now you can't do any action other than that. Either included within those three. It's actions of the limbs, tongue, or heart. Nothing else. So because it's dealing with the heart, it's one third of knowledge. And other scholars said, it's one third because all of your actions are either of the heart, of your limbs, that includes the tongue, or dealing with people, mu'amalat. So it's one of those three. So either way you look at it, it's still one third. وعن الإمام أحمد رضي الله عنه قال أصول الإسلام على ثلاثة أحاديث. Al-Imam Ahmad the Great said, the foundations of this religion, its principles, are based on three ahadith. The first, Hadith Umar, radiallahu anhu, innama al-a'malu bin-niyat. That's the first hadith, that your deeds are but by their intentions. The second, wa Hadith Aisha, radiallahu anha, man ahdath fi amrina hadha ma laysa minhu fahuwa rad. Whoever invents something in this religion, in our affair of ours, then it is rejected. In other words, a person who invents something that it's not from Islam, it's rejected. In other words, innovation and bid'ah. And the third hadith, وحديث النعمان الحلال بين والحرام بين. That halal is clear and haram is clear. And those three ahadith, subhanAllah, are also in the 40 ahadith which we're going to study throughout the term. So that's what Al-Imam Ahmad said, to show us once again the importance of this hadith. Al-Fadl ibn Ziyad said, and these are not in your notes, if you want to write this down, you may. He said, سَأَلْتُ أَبَا عَبْدِ اللَّهِ يعني أحمد عن النية في العمل قلت كيف النية قال يعالج نفسه إذا أراد عملا لا يريد به الناس. He said, this man, Fadl ibn Ziyad, I asked Abu Abdullah, meaning Ahmed, about the niyya, the intention via or through your deeds. He said, how is this niyya? What is it about? He said, يعالج نفسه. He's correcting his heart always, correcting himself. If he wanted to do a deed, he doesn't want anyone except Allah. In other words, his audience is Allah Azza wa Jalla, not the people. That's ikhlas. That is pure, sincere intention. It was mentioned that Ahmad ibn Dawood al-Harbi, he said, Al-A'malu bin-niyat wa Ahmad jalis faqal Ahmad li Yazid, Ya Aba Khalid, hadha huwa al-khinaq. He was mentioned this hadith in front of this man, Ahmad. So he said, Ya Aba Khalid, O Abu Khalid, hadha huwa al-khinaq. This is a matter that is choking. In other words, this matter is so dire, so severe. If you don't perfect your intention, then all of your deeds are lost. And this is a serious thing. It's khinaq from ikhtanaqa, literally to choke you. To further highlight how important this hadith is. وعن يحيى ابن أبي كثير he said تعلموا النية فإنها أبلغ من العمل. He said, learn about the intention, learn its rulings and regulations, because it's أبلغ, it's far more reaching than deeds itself. You know, for example, let's just say you wanted to perform jihad في سبيل الله, okay, especially for the brothers, but they can't, but they want to, but they're just restricted. Maybe, for example, the government took their passport, for example. But there, as that always happens, okay, their intention for wanting to go, they get the reward as though they went, even if they don't. See how your heart can take you to places that your limbs cannot? You want to enroll in this college, for example, you're on the waiting list, you didn't get in. Every single week, you're wanting to know, I want to get in, I want to study. And you won't be accepted because the classes are full, which they are, alhamdulillah. Then you get the reward as though you have studied. Okay? And that's not an excuse now to say, hey, look, put me on the waiting list. And no, you're in, okay? And in terms of the hadith about jihad, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, من سأل الله الشهادة بصدق جعله الله منازل الشهداء وإن مات على فراشه. Whoever asks Allah for martyrdom with صدق, يعني sincerity, Allah will grant that person the rank of the shuhada even if they die on their bed. So you are intending to do as much khayr. Intend, always intend to do khayr. Okay? And if you are held up and you can't do it, alhamdulillah. So intend sincerely, you want to memorize the Quran. But don't just put that intention as yani. No, put it into practice. Don't just say, I intend and not do anything about it. Intend and take the steps. And if you don't, you get the reward as if you did.
Zubayd al-Yami said, إِنِّي لَأُحِبُّ أَن تَكُونَ لِي نِيَّةٌ فِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى فِي الطَّعَامِ وَالشَّرَابِ.
He said, I love for me to have an intention in all matters, even while drinking and eating. Things that you love. Who doesn't love their stomach? Okay? Okay. When you're stuffing your face, you're doing that for the sake of Allah, in the sense of you want to yani, nourish your body to worship Allah for another day. You are being rewarded while fulfilling a desire. Eating and drinking. Allahu Akbar. SubhanAllah. You know, brothers could be going for a swim. Now, if they're swimming because they want to have fun with their mates, great. But if they are doing that to follow the sunnah, they're having fun and they're being rewarded. So have an intention in your worldly affairs and inshallah will be regarded as an act of worship. And as we said last week, you know, you could be shopping on your husband's debit card, okay, having a lot of fun with it, okay, and you're getting rewarded. As long as you're not, of course, falling into israf, you know, extravagance and overspending. But when you're buying things for the house, for your kids, you're doing that for the sake of Allah. And also for the men. You know, when they have to pay rent. You know, they say rent money is dead money. No. Think of it as you are giving, for example, $500 a week, a sadaqah for your family. Imagine you thought that. Every week you were giving $500. Who could do that? Except the one with a pure intention. So rent money, no, it's not dead money. You are literally providing yani, a roof over your family's head. You're getting rewarded for that. You see, you're getting rewarded.
And Dawood al-Ta'i said, رأيت الخير كله إنما يجمعه حسن النية وكفاك به خيرا وإن لم تنصب. داود الطائي said,
I saw goodness in all of its forms and it's combined in a pure sincere intention and that suffices you of goodness even if you don't get tired. It's enough for you to have a pure sincere intention. That is enough for you in goodness even if you don't get tired. For example, a person is praying Qiyamul Layl all night, but he's doing that because someone can see him. Tiring himself out, there's no reward for that person. Whereas another person just prays two raka'at, and then one witr, goes to bed, that's enough for them. That's better than to pray all night, tiring yourself out, but doing it to show off, as opposed to another person who's doing it sincerely for Allah. It's not about worshipping Allah harder, it's about worshipping Allah smarter.
And Sufyan al-Thawri said, مَا عَلَجْتُ شَيْئًا أَشَدَّ عَلَيَّ مِن نِيَّتِي.
I didn't treat anything harder than my niyyah. Why? لِأَنَّهَا تَتَقَلَّبُ عَلَيَّ. Because it always changes on me. You know, you start a deed for the sake of Allah, halfway through people praise you, oh, now it plays with your intention. The niyyah is always changing on us, subhanAllah. The qalb, that's why it's called qalb, from تَقَلَّبَ, to fluctuate, to go up and down. So that was important to understand a bit about what the scholar said about this hadith. And we said the background for this hadith was when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba were making hijrah from Mecca to Al-Madinah for the sake of Allah. But there was one man who was migrated for what? Marriage purposes. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this hadith. Now a bit about, let's go through the notes quickly, then we'll explain what they all mean, inshallah. If we go to the second page where it says Al-Imam al-Shafi'i on top, we've already taken that hadith.
And then on the bottom, niyya has two meanings. We're going to take that on the board soon. So we'll keep going. If you go to the next page, it says this hadith emphasizes ikhlas. What does that mean? We've already explained ikhlas, yes? Last week. What he goes on to explain is that deeds to be accepted, have to have two conditions. What are they? Yeah, pure, sincere intention. Good. Correct. If you want to do any good deed, you need to ensure you have a pure, he said purity is more of a better translation, a pure, sincere intention, and your deed needs to be in accordance with the sunnah. The sharia, in other words. For example, a person has a sincere intention, they want to raise money for the people of Gaza, Palestine. However, they want to hold an alcohol drinks party for it. Okay? I see a lot of people come for that. Okay? It's haram, not accepted. Although they may be sincere. You see? A person wants to get closer to Allah by dancing, singing, and running around like on Mawlid night. Okay? They have a sincere intention perhaps. We're not going to question that, but it's not in accordance with the sunnah. The sahaba never did that. The whirling dervishes and other things of that nature. What about the opposite? A person, for example, wants to do a good deed. They want to pray Dhuhr. They're feeling energetic today. So they go, you know what? I want to make it 5 rak'at. I want to make it 5 rak'at instead of 4. I'm feeling pumped up today. I'm just psyched from that lecture. Okay? They're sincere also, but they wasn't in accordance with the sunnah. And as for a person who is doing a deed with accordance with the sunnah, praying, for example, but they're doing it to show off, there's no ikhlas there, then also it's not accepted. But what does that mean to show off and your deed is unaccepted? We're going to take that shortly because there's a lot of misconceptions with that. And that is found in the shahada. The shahada, okay, as the shaykh goes on to mention. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, the first part of the shahada, ikhlas, doing it purely for Allah's sake. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, the sunnah. You see the beauty of the shahada? It's comprised of two parts. Ikhlas to Allah and the deed according to the sunnah. And Al-Imam Al-Harawi, he states there are 7 types of self-desires following your hawa. You know, in other words, showing off. And the word hawa, desires, comes from hawa yahwi in Arabic, which means to fall. Because when you follow your desires, you fall. And where do you fall? In al-hawiyah. That's another name for the fire. You see how all those words connect? Your hawa is your desire. And hawa yahwi means to fall, and the hawiyah is the fire. SubhanAllah. He said there are many types of showing off. To make to make oneself appear good in the hearts of others, to seek praise, or even to avoid being blamed. I better stand up for the rights of the Muslims, otherwise people are going to blame me, they're going to talk about me, you see? So riya and showing off and following your desires can follow many forms, to seek glorification, to seek wealth from other people, to seek their services or love, and also to seek the help for others, for oneself. So there's many different types. And inshallah, we're going to talk about what can nullify the deed and what doesn't, or what can make the deed accepted but decrease the reward. We're going to take that in a moment. We're just finishing the notes here. And Ibn al-Qayyim said, on the next page, the top, it says, any action we do is subject to 3 defects. Any action you do, there are 3 things that can affect the reward or it being accepted altogether. The first 2 points deal with the deed during the action. During. And the 3rd point deals with the deed after. For example, number 1, being conscious that others are observing. Okay, that can affect the reward. And also seeking a return. You're doing it for a return, a worldly benefit. That's during the deed. As for point 3, it deals with after the deed, being satisfied. Al-ujb. And tata'ajab binafsik. You become impressed with yourself. Alhamdulillah, I prayed Fajr, you know, on time for the last year. Oh, no one's better than me. You know, I just gave $5,000. Everyone's giving $500. I gave $5,000. That's called al-ujb, to be impressed. That can nullify your deed. And it does nullify the deed, subhanAllah. So he said, any action you do is subject to those 3, yani defects. Being conscious people are watching, seeking a worldly benefit, and also being satisfied with the action. Now, let's take the... Yes?
You're happy,
yeah, and you're satisfied, but impressed is another word altogether.
impressed that you believe you did this because you're so good and that you're better than others and you have arrogance and you're filled with conceit. But to be happy that you're worshipping Allah and you're saying, oh Allah, grant me more, and you know that it's from Allah. You see, you know that you got up for Fajr because Allah allowed you to. You gave sadaqah because Allah blessed you with wealth. He enabled you to give it and He accepted it and He granted you more. That's Al-Kareem. Person realizes that, and Allah gave me wealth, He ordered me to give, and when I did give it was because of His bounty and blessing, and then He accepted it, and then He granted me more. Allahu Akbar, it's from Allah, it's not from me. You're happy that you're following Islam. Happy is one thing, but impressed is another. You think, Alhamdulillah, no, it's all from me. Actually, you don't even say Alhamdulillah, it's all from me, and I'm better than those who didn't. That's a different issue. That can nullify the deed. This hadith, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ, was narrated by whom? Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu. It's as follows. عن أمير المؤمنين أبي حفص عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إنما الأعمال بالنيات وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى فمن كانت هجرته إلى الله ورسوله فهجرته إلى الله ورسوله ومن كانت هجرته لدنيا يصيبها أو امرأة ينكحها فهجرته إلى ما هاجر إليه رواه البخاري ومسلم. This hadith was narrated by Amir al-Mu'mineen. What is Amir? Leader. Comes from Amr. You know, to give an Amr is a command. He's the one who ya'mur. The Amir ya'mur. The Amir gives commands. He issues commands, you see. Amir al-Mu'mineen, the leader, the Amir of the faithful. Abu Hafs. Did we explain that last week? Yeah, his nickname. Laqab and Kunya and the difference. Did we go into that? What's the difference between Kunya and Laqab? They're both translated as nickname. What's the difference? It's true. He was called Abu Hafs because he was the father of Hafsa. And Hafs also can mean a lion. So it holds both meanings. But what's the difference between Kunya and Laqab? Correct.
And the
Kunya
is like Abu
Hurayra. Correct. Kunya has Abu or at the beginning, like Abu Hurayra. Abu Bakr, that's a Kunya. Laqab without Abu or Al-Faruq is a Laqab. Saifullah is a Laqab. As-Siddiq, Laqab. So Abu Hafs is not a Laqab, it's a Kunya. Abu Hafs, the father of Hafsa, and also the father or the lion, in other words. Now, Abu doesn't necessarily mean father all the time. It can mean Sahib. Because Abu Hurairah, he's not the father of the cat. His wife didn't give birth to a cat, okay? It can mean the Sahib, the companion, okay? Like today, a person loves cars, we say car guy. They love the internet, they deal with internet and PCs, or a tech guy, guy or girl, right? That's what Abu and really mean. It can be associated, but it can also literally mean the father of. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Abu al-Qasim, his son was Qasim. So he narrated this hadith. He said, I heard the Messenger of Allah say, and we're going to take inshallah throughout the term, the difference between sami'tu, I heard, and an, upon the authority of, and hadathani, narrated. All of these have different meanings in mustalah al-hadith. And we're going to take all of those terms, inshaAllah ta'ala. This hadith is split into three parts. The first part is the first sentence, literally. What is it? إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. That first sentence is the first part of the hadith. Deeds are but by your intentions. We're going back now to the first page. We're going to go into detail now. The second part of the hadith is the second sentence. Very easy. وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. And every person will have what they intended. And the third part of the hadith is the remainder, or the remaining part of the hadith. And that's where the Prophet ﷺ gave an example of a person with a good intention for the sake of Allah, another person with an intention for the dunya. And that's from the eloquence and beautiful teaching methods of the Prophet ﷺ. He gave a sentence and he gave another to clarify what he meant, and then he gave an example for those who are not sure. And that's from the beautiful teaching methods of a teacher. Because it is said, بِالْأَمْثَالِ تَتَّضِحْ الْمَقَالِ. With examples, speech is made clear. So if you're teaching someone, I don't know what you're on about, then give an example. Give an example. Now let's go into those sentences one by one. the first sentence where he said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. What does that mean? Deeds are but by intentions. This has two opinions according to two groups of scholars. Let's talk about now the first sentence. Two opinions. One from the early scholars. This won't be in your quiz, but rather sentence two will be, because that's the crux of the hadith. But for your information. And the later scholars have another opinion. The early scholars said the first sentence means, إِنَّ قَابُولُ الْعَمَالِ بِالنِّيَاتِ. The acceptance of the deeds are but by their intentions. They said there's something which is omitted. What's omitted? Taken away. The word qabul is removed. It's omitted. Why? Because the scholars would say, scholars of Arabic, al-ma'lum mahdhuf. That which is known is omitted. It's deleted. You don't need to mention it. Someone asks you, what's your name? You say, Khadija, Fatima, Rana, Yasar. You don't say, my name is. That's an insult to the person's intelligence. You know, how old are you? My age is. No, it's 32. So you don't have to repeat. It's known. How old are you? 25. How old are you? 48. For example, what's your name? Khadija. That's it. You don't have to say, my name is, because it's known. So that word qabul, the word qabul, acceptance, is removed. In other words, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, the acceptance of your deed is based on your intention. If you want it to be accepted by Allah, you need to have a pure intention. However, the later scholars, the mutaakhirin, said no. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that no one does an action except via an intention. In other words, every action has a motive behind it. That's what they said. In other words, no one does something except to have an intention, right? For example, you see someone packing their luggage, packing their clothing, grabbing their passports, driving to the airport. You say, where are you going? Who says I'm going anywhere? I'm not going anywhere. It's like, this person's crazy, right? And no one does something except to have an intention, a motive behind it, right? You don't see someone open the fridge, take out some bread, cheese, tomato, lettuce, and, you know, making a sandwich. Like, okay, let's go. Don't even eat it. No, you're doing something because you have an intention. Even in criminal law, okay, the motive, right? The motive for the person who committed manslaughter. Why did they kill? So this second opinion from the later scholars is more of a logical approach. And that's something which is known by everyone. No one would disagree with that. Whereas the first opinion from the earlier scholars is more of a hukmun shar'i. It's more of a legislative approach. It's connected to the Sharia. And both are accepted. Both are accepted. There's no contradiction there. Yes?
Can you give some examples of some of the early scholars and the later scholars?
No doubt, primarily the Salaf are the first three generations of Islam. So the early scholars, the first 300 years. Later scholars, it's even mentioned up to Ibn Taymiyyah. So the later scholars will be post Ibn Taymiyyah. That's what some of ulama said as well. But no doubt, we agree with both. We agree with both. There's no contradiction there. What about the second sentence? Now it gets interesting. Because this is the crux of the hadith. وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. Here. And every person will get what they intended. مَا نَوَى. You know, نَوَى from نِيَّة. The second sentence. The نِيَّة. This is now the crux of the hadith, as we said. What is the niyyah? The niyyah is split into two parts. We'll say part A and part B. Part A, niyyatul ma'mooli lahu. Who the deed was intended for. Who? Was it for Allah? Was it for reputation? Was it for some worldly gain? Who? What's your motive behind this action? And that goes hand in hand with the early scholars' opinion of the first sentence. So the early scholars said, your acceptance of a deed is based on your intention. And the second sentence is a confirmation of the first. In other words, the Prophet ﷺ is repeating himself. In other words, you'll be recompensated your deed will be accepted based on your intention if it was for Allah alone. So there's two parts to the niyyah. And the second part is, what the intention of the act is. Niyatul amali dhati. In other words, what is the intention? Are you intending now an obligatory action? Or are you intending an optional action? Are you intending when you pray the two rak'at, are these the two units of fajr? Or are they the sunnah of fajr? Or are they the sunnah of duha? What the intention is? When you have a shower, are you intending to shower because you are, for example, you want to remain clean? Or you're showering to remove janaba, to remove the state of impurity? You see, the actual intention itself. So the first was dealing with who are you doing it for? And the second part of the niyyah is what the intention actually is. And is this intention, is it to do with an obligation or an optional act of worship or a custom? One of the three, right? There's no other option. So is it a worldly benefit or a religious benefit? And the religious benefit is either obligatory or optional. As we said, a brother is swimming with his mates. Is he doing that because as a custom wants to have fun? Or he's doing that to follow the sunnah? So in other words, part A deals with your ikhlas. And we said this is the crux. This is the crux of the matter. And the remaining part of the hadith is an explanation of that. Is really the Prophet ﷺ gave an explanation of the first part, a person who has a sincere, pure intention. Explanation via the example. And that is it. That is, in summary, the whole hadith. That is it. If you understood that, you've understood the hadith. But now we're going to get into rulings and regulations, fine detail about changing intention during, or if you start a deed for the sake of Allah and then showing off kicks in, etc. So if you want to write that down now, you can. And then we're going to get into detail regarding those examples.
So are you saying that the word qabool was taken out of the hadith?
It was implied.
So was it already there?
No, it was implied. Rasulullah said, Rasulullah didn't have to say it because it was implied.
Okay.
When I say removed, doesn't mean someone literally took it out.
Yeah.
It was implied. Okay. Removed because it's implied. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam implied that. Yeah, because it's known. That's what he meant, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the proof is, they said the second sentence. He's reaffirming that. But whether you accept that early scholar or not, it doesn't matter because all scholars agree to the meaning of the second sentence. Now, part A. Let's give some scenarios. And we'll stop there. Who was the deed intended for initially? Okay, this is very important. Initially, who? Scenario one, a person sleeps over his brother's house and he's awake at 1 a.m. So he says, you know what, I'm going to pray tahajjud because I want to do it 50% for the sake of Allah, but 50% to show my mate that I'm a abid, I'm a worshipper for his friend, okay, his mate. What was the dafi'? What was the motive for him standing up? It was 50% for Allah, 50% for his friend. Is it accepted? Is that deed accepted?
No.
Absolutely not. Rejected. Even if he did 90% for Allah and 10% for his mate, it's still rejected. Not accepted at all. We're talking about the initial, remember? Who the deed was intended for initially. What motivated you? What was the dafa'? What motivated you to get up and do that deed? You could do it 1% for the creation, 99% for Allah. If you initially, I'm talking about initially, not halfway through, it changes. Initially, you did a deed for the people, then it's rejected. Based on this very, very important hadith, hadith Qudsi. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that Allah said, أَنَا أَغْنَى الشُّرَكَاءِ عَنِ الشِّرْكِ I am the most wealthiest of the partners. مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا أَشْرَكَ فِيهِ مَعِي غَيْرِي تَرَكْتُهُ وَشَرِيكَهُ Whoever does an action and intended someone else with that action along with me, then I left him and his shariq and his partner. You do a deed, you're intending Allah and something else, whether it's dunya, or whether it's to impress people, reputation, worldly gain, to not be blamed, whatever, you initially do the deed, and you ascribe a partner with Allah, that whole deed is rejected, subhanAllah. But let's look at scenario two. You're home alone, you want to pray tahajjud. Does that person have ikhlas? Of course, 100%, because there's no one there to see him, right? So you initially stood up for qiyamul layl, alone. So you have sincerity, no doubt, because who are you trying to impress? The carpet? As long as you stood up and there's no one there, khalas, you are sincere. Halfway through your prayer, someone walks in. Halfway through, riyak kicks in, showing off. You start to show off. You're praying alone at night, your husband walks in. Okay, halfway through, you originally stood up for Allah's sake. Halfway through, your husband walks in, you get impressed that alhamdulillah, they saw that you're a worshipper. Is your deed accepted? It is. It is. Alhamdulillah. Otherwise, how many of us, all their deeds will be rejected. It's accepted. Accepted. However, what is decreased? The reward decreases according to the level of showing off. The more showing off, the less reward. See the difference? A lot of people think at all cases, if you're showing off, deed rejected. No. If you started off initially with ikhlas, alhamdulillah, it's accepted. Let me just finish this last bit and then we'll take all your questions. I'm going to try to explain those two scenarios. Now, the question remains, what do I do? What do I do if someone walks in and I'm praying? Or what do I do if I want to do a deed and there's people around? Okay, there's two scenarios, to ward off, showing off, and to make your deed accepted and get the full reward. First scenario, you want to perform a good deed, but there are people around. What do you do? You fear showing off. What do? Do you do the deed or you don't do the deed? Okay, this is what we say. You either, if you fear that you're going to do this deed because of the people, you either leave the room, do it somewhere else privately, or you wait till they leave. That way you ensure you've done it for the sake of Allah. Escape the people, escape, run away. If you fear you're going to do this deed for riya, showing off, you either leave or you wait till they leave. What about if they're not going to leave and you can't go anywhere? You're in a masjid. Everyone get out. I need to pray. Yalla. All right? You can't. What about if you can't? What do you do? Do you leave it or do you do it? You do it because shaitan doesn't want you to do it. That's from another door he enters. Don't do the deed. You're going to do it for showing off. No, now you're going to do it for the people. So what you do, you still stand up regardless and you fight shaitan. You do it. Now, that's the first scenario, before the deed. What about during the deed? Alhamdulillah, you started off great. Full sincerity, ikhlas, okay? A lot of people think that your reward is based on ikhlas. No. Because you either have it or you don't. Okay? It's one or the other. Either have a pure intention or not. The water is either pure or it's not. If it's got a bit of filth or contamination, it's no longer 100% pure. It's like wudu. You either have wudu or you don't. You can't say, he has more wudu than you, bro. Okay? No. A lot of people think your reward is based on ikhlas. No, reward is based on other factors we're going to take next week. It's not ikhlas. As you can see, ikhlas is just for the qabool, acceptance. Reward is based on other factors. Reward can increase with hardship or decrease by showing off. So the second scenario, you started the deed with ikhlas, pure intention. And halfway through, people are watching and you feel showing off. Now the deed, what do? Do you cut it off or do you continue? It depends. Deeds are either continuous or non-continuous. Give me an example of a continuous deed. The beginning connects with the end. Prayer. So yeah, I'm fasting, you see. Once you start, you have to finish. If it's a continuous deed, you can't stop. You have to fight shaitan, mujahada. But if it's a non-continuous deed, for example, reading Quran, non-continuous. So you can stop at any time. If it's non-continuous, what do? You stop the deed if you feel showing off, okay? Stop the deed, stop it, then renew your intention and continue. Do it again, because you can't stop it. And that's why some scholars will be giving speeches sometimes, and they felt riya enter their heart, so they stopped the speech, literally. They got down from the minbar, they intended for the sake of Allah again, they got up and they spoke. Allahu Akbar. So that's what you do. So we said before the deed, you either escape, leave the room, wait till they leave, and then you do the deed, or if you can't, you start anyway, and you fight a shaitan. Now, what about if you're during the deed? We said deed depending on two situations, either continuous or non-continuous. If it's continuous, you have to continue. Have to. And if it's non-continuous, stop, renew your intention again, start off fresh, round two. And that's it. This lesson was a bit deep, but inshallah, next lesson, we're going to recap all that we took, and we're going to give scenarios of what can give you more reward and what can decrease your reward. And also, we're going to look at practical examples of intention. If you do a deed, but you intend something else, for example, you want to intend to do something for the sake of Allah, but also do it for the dunya, like your diploma. That's something very important. It's a worldly benefit now. Is that allowed? That's called the tashrik fi niyyah. We're going to take that next week. We'll leave now, inshallah, 10 minutes or so for some questions before we take seerah.